Greetings. These are the chronicles of one man's adventures and misadventures in Asia. I am Kokajin, Oscar Mike Golf. I'm in China. Thank you for downloading. Welcome back, loyal listeners, and welcome to new listeners. For those who keep track of such things, I have not made an error in addition. This is indeed episode 8. If you are an iTunes or Podomatic subscriber, you will have noted that the last audio episode was episode 6. There is, in fact, a video episode of Kokajin Chronicles at my YouTube and Vimeo video accounts. If you want to know what's happened since episode 6, I advise you to follow the links, watch the video. You will also have noted that the sound quality of my voice on this particular broadcast is not up to its usual standards. In deference to the gods of carry-on luggage, I sacrificed my Presonus recording interface and microphone set, and I am presently making do with alternate equipment. Rest assured, however, a hardware solution is en route, and hopefully, by the next episode, I will be back to my usual standards of broadcast excellence. With your indulgence, I will dedicate this episode to an account of how I came to be in China. Around last fall, I received notification from my state employment agency that my unemployment benefits were rapidly dwindling to a close. I was faced with the prospect of either doing something that I could easily acquire, that is, a job in security, even though I hated it, and thereby put my dreams of traveling and working overseas on hold again for the foreseeable future, or I could do something unexpected and out of character. I chose the unexpected, and I began a campaign of applying for jobs in Asia. I primarily utilized Dave's ESL Cafe website rather than Craigslist. Dave's seems to do a bit better job of screening out the more obvious scammers. I also, on occasion, consulted the TEFL blacklist of employers who have been recruiters and or employers who have been identified as non-teacher friendly. I also consulted the TEFL whitelist of employers who have been given a clean bill of health. And I pretty much limited my search to Japan and China and Taiwan and Korea, since there were so many. So this continued on for some months. And I should say that when I say I have no experience, I have no experience teaching English specifically. I have experience teaching. I have experience teaching to youth. I have experience teaching to adults. I have not specifically taught that subject matter, however. So I began this effort, and I have to say, looking back on it now, I have to laugh, because at the time, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny at all. I began sending out applications at the beginning of October. And between the first week in October and the first week of March, I sent out 128 letters of application. Out of that total, I got 3 interviews. And out of those 3 interviews, I got 2 job offers. So if you're doing the statistics, that is a dismal response rate. On the other hand, it only takes 1. And I'll tell you a bit more about my job a bit later. So I began this process, and as it happened, the job that I am currently working at, I actually applied to within a month of beginning this final effort. And I sent my application in on the 5th of November. I was contacted the following week to schedule the interview via Skype, and I conducted the interview on the 16th of October, or excuse me, the 16th of November, and by the 22nd of November, I had received a job offer. So that part of it actually went very well, and fairly rapidly, if you're looking back on it. And I was all set to be in China I was mentally prepared to be in China by the end of the year. I asked the employer if I could possibly wait until just after New Year's. So we began exchanging emails back and forth as to when I should arrive. And, I explained about the Christmas holidays, and they said, no problem. And I said, okay, well, I'll show up around January 15th or so. And then a little while later, I got an email in response saying, well, we really don't want you showing up then because we're in the process of going on our own holiday, the Spring Festival holiday. And they really wanted me to delay arrival for some time. So ultimately, through this process of email tennis, back and forth and forth and back, I eventually wound up saying that, okay, I will be there middle of March. And they agreed. And that was the last I heard from them for a while. Matter of fact, that was the last I heard from them for months. And time went by. I heard nothing. I received no documents. And being the suspicious and paranoid and skeptical type that I am, and having had no experience with this particular employer, I rather suspected that even though I adopted a policy of sending out my resume picture, or excuse me, not my resume picture, my passport picture to all my employers, just so I could get upfront and out of the way that I wasn't the stereotypical blonde-haired, blue-eyed possible preference that they may or may not have been looking for. And, typically what has happened, or at least anecdotally what has happened is that somebody like me comes along, presents well on paper, does great on the interview. My Skype interview, by the way, we only had video for a couple of minutes. My T1 connection at my local coffee shop where I did the interviews at was, I suspect that in that connection was great. On the China side, however, I came to find out that China has some really sad internet speeds. I mean, sub dial-up speeds. So I rather suspect that although I had a secure and strong connection on my side, the volume of data just overwhelmed them on their side. And so after a few minutes, we wound up shutting down the first shut down the video, and then actually wound up shutting down the audio and finishing the interview via Skype texting, because it just was not happening. At any rate, time goes by, I'm hearing nothing, and I'm getting that funny feeling in the back of my head that they must have changed their minds, they must have found a candidate closer to home, who knows. So, and I asked around, I asked on, part of the problem was, I wasn't sure how hard to push. How assertive to be. I mean, had this been an American employer, I would have known that, after a week or two, I should have in hand a contract, and I should have documents, and I should have an orientation packet or a welcome packet or something. But my unfamiliarity with the way business is done in China, with what I should be expecting in China, I was quite hesitant to take that same level of assertiveness, and so I didn't. So time goes by, I'm hearing nothing, and I sent them spaced a few weeks apart, I sent them an email saying, hey, haven't heard from you, what's going on, what should I be doing, is there anything I need to be doing? And eventually on March 2nd, I having heard nothing for weeks, literally weeks. In fact, I think by that time it had been a good 5 or 6 weeks since I had heard anything. So I pretty much figured that it was done. It wasn't going to happen. But you know, they were so nice about it, and I figured, okay, well, there's a possibility I did or didn't do something here. So I sent them an email expressing my regrets that, from what I could tell, apparently I wasn't going to be, that the position was not going to materialize, and if they were so inclined, if they could possibly share with me what I did or didn't do that dissuaded them from completing the process of bringing me over. And 2 days later, I get this nice email from the foreign worker contact person expressing her regret that that they had not been able to contact me. And it appears that the emails from the official school email server were somehow not getting to me. So she sent this email to me on her personal Hotmail account, and what I learned is to double down. I from that point forward, I made sure that I had two emails to work with, to send from, and I made sure that I sent correspondence back to both of her emails. So, word to the wise, get alternate contact, get alternate methods of contacting your people out there. But at any rate, you know, she sent this email back to me, you know, expressing regret and concern, and no, we really do want you, and in fact, give me your address so we can get the provisional contract in the mail, and you can run down and get your visa, your entry visa to China taken care of, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, okay. you know, I at this, as I said, you know, I was painfully adjusting myself mentally to giving up this dream, even though it was apparently in my hand, and I was all set to, you know, put it away and go do some kind of job, only to have it, you know, only to have it given back to me again. So I was pleased, but there was still a high degree of skepticism. But the contact person sent the Federal Express shipping tracking number, and she shipped the provisional contract and the necessary documentation I would need to get down to the embassy, to the Chinese embassy, to get an entry visa. And I, you know, I'm tracking this thing, and sure enough, it got picked up in Beijing, and it got flown out through Hong Kong, and it landed in Oxnard, California. And, you know, I'm checking this thing every 6 hours just to see. And I went to bed, I got up one morning, came out, and it was already at my doorsteps, and it was real. You know, I'm looking at this documentation, official government of China, you know, public People's Republic of China, and I'm just, oh my God, this might actually happen. So from that point on, it was quick, fast, in a hurry. I got my shots, I got my paperwork, I shut down the apartment, I gave away all my goods, and A month after sending my, you know, my regrets email, a month later to the day, I went over to that airport. I got on the Air Haidan jet direct from my airport to China. And here I am. So that is long and the short of how I come to be in China. There is more to tell about the experience being here, but I will say that what I can share with you is that I got a very favorable contract with probably one of the best employers in the country, because I'm affiliated with one of the best universities in the country. This is not a private school. This is a program of the university, and the university is developing these teaching programs, developing these English teaching schools within Beijing, and they're also affiliated with Cambridge University. So some of the Cambridge material and the Cambridge standards and the Cambridge tests that you may or may not be familiar with, those are there. And in fact, this is a teacher. It's not only, they're not only doing English as a second language for Chinese students. There's an entire English teacher training effort underway by this college, and they bring in English teachers like me to provide an authentic English voice to supplement what they're already teaching. So I have, you know, once now that I'm here, I have no complaints whatsoever about the employer, about how I've been treated. And you know, like I said, there's more to say on that matter that I'm not going to say today, because I want to get this out without making it too extensive, because as I mentioned, internet service here in Beijing leaves much to be desired. Yes, I'm surprised too. And I might also point out that as I'm in the People's Republic of China, my access to things like Facebook and Twitter and others and YouTube and the social media that I've been active on is severely circumscribed. It's hard to get a connection. It's hard to get a fast connection. It's hard to do anything with any of that social media. So don't feel like I'm ignoring you. If you choose to communicate with me that way, I'll get back with you. It just won't happen at the normal rate of speed.
Kokajin Chronicles is recorded, edited, and mixed with free and open source software from Ubuntu Studio. This episode was mastered April 24th, 2012, and featured the musical artistry of Marc-Michel Bosche from his ultra-fresh Serenity album. This album, and thousands of others, are available free at www.jamendo.com. Until next time, peace, love, and harmony.